I am in Christ, and whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen. We are a free people. Listen, I don't want to be anyone's prisoners, because there's only two chains in this world. Satan's or the Lord Jesus Christ.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. It's great to have you tuning in as we begin a new week of Bible study. Pastor Bill continues his series, The Joy of Serving Jesus, from the New Testament Epistle of Philippians today, with the conclusion to the message, What Chains Do. Let's listen in.
I don't want to be ashamed. He says, oh no, not that. He says, but with all boldness, he says, as always. Now listen to me. Remember that Paul is going to go to trial. He's going to stand before Nero. And listen, Nero, man, he believed he was a god. Do you understand? He was a wicked man. No, he says, but with all boldness, as always, so now also in the situation that he's in, that Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life, whether by death, whether I live or whether I die. That word, earnest expectation, is a beautiful Greek word, loved one, and it means this. It means a person who strains with all their being, their neck, and the strain out, or their head is erect, and they can only focus on one thing, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what Paul was saying. Philip's translation takes that word earnest expectation, and he translates it standing on tiptoe. Paul was standing on tiptoe, man. He was fixed. His eyes riveted upon one person. And Paul said this, whether I die, I don't know. Whether I live, I don't know. But I know one thing. I don't want to be ashamed. I don't want to be ashamed of my life. Do you? If Paul said, I don't want to be ashamed of my life, how much more should we, the 21st century church, say, I don't want to be ashamed? Anything that I do, but with all boldness, I want to do one thing. I want to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul was saying, loved one. Listen, Paul lived an expectant life. He knew that Jesus, he believed that Jesus could return at any time. He doesn't want to be ashamed. 1 John 2:28 says, for us, it says, listen, don't be ashamed at his coming. Jesus is coming. He is coming again. I don't know when, but I do know that he's coming. And there's a lot of talk today, of course, with the pandemic and China and Iran and the Middle East and whoever's in Washington, all the things that are occurring. Well, the rapture is going to take place. It could happen any minute. Well, of course, that's true, but that was true 10 years ago. Do you understand? A lot of talk about it. But you know what we should be talking about is, are we truly ready for the rapture? We don't want to be ashamed at his coming. You know what we should really be saying right now? Yes, I'm living expectantly. I know that Jesus is coming. I do not know the day. I do not know the hour. Jesus said, only my Father in heaven knows those things. What we should be saying is this. It's time to relaunch. It's time to pick up our axe. It's time to be clearing a path through this pandemic. We have a lot of work to do, and we're to do business until Jesus comes. Amen? That's what we're to be doing, and we need to be doing it right now. He said, oh, listen, that Christ be magnified in his body by death or by life. In other words, magnified means everything that I do, Paul says, I just want to show people who Jesus Christ is. How do we do that? Well, Paul did it the same way. You know the scripture, the new commandment, where Jesus told us, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I've loved you, and by this all will know that you're my disciples. If it tells us in Ephesians 5:1, it says, and be imitators of God as dear children, and how? By walking in love. So what was Paul's one desire? To magnify the Lord? How do you do that? You walk like Jesus walked. He who says that he abides in the Lord ought to walk even as he walked. 1 John 2:6, amen? Oh, loved one, listen. Paul says, oh, listen, here's how I do it. I have one desire. I'm going to walk like Jesus walked. I'm going to love like Jesus. I'm going to forgive like Jesus forgave. I am going to live after Jesus or how he lived, even if it means I have to suffer with him. Now listen to me. If you want to live above your trials and you want to have joy and you want to live above your circumstances, here's how you do it. No matter what the trial, no matter what the circumstance, here's what you have to do. And I'm not there yet, but I'm in training for reigning like everybody else. But you exalt and magnify Jesus in every circumstance. How do you do that? How is that really accomplished? Verse 21, we know that scripture so well. Don't let it go over your head, but let it start living in your heart if it's not. What did Paul say? He says, for me, I don't know about you, he says. I don't know about anybody else in this world. He says, but for me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I can't say that. I want to say that. I want to say for Bill to live is to live 100% totally for Christ, 24 hours a day, every day of the year. Do you understand me? Paul said that. Listen to me. Verse 21. Who inspired Paul to pen verse 21? The Holy Spirit. Even heaven is in agreement with Paul, what he just said. He said, for me, for Paul, to live is Jesus Christ. What kind of word is that? Every person on earth, every Christian lives for someone or something, loved one. You can say, for me to live is pleasure. For me to live is my job, my children. For me to live is money or fame, or for me to live is sports. You know, if I had to be chained to someone who loves sports, I would have to... I mean, you know, like today at 2:05, what's going to happen? Oh, I felt that, huh? Oh, yeah. What's that guy's name on the Green Bay? What's his name? Oh, look at this crowd. Look at you. And what's that sissy's name on the other team? Tom Brady. There you go, Tom Brady. Oh, yeah, chained to that. You know, some people, they're chained to their iPhone. You know, take it to bed with them, wake up with them, go to the restroom with it, everything. Oh, listen. I'm chained to Facebook. I talked to a young lady the other day, and she was talking to me. Says, oh, I was going down the YouTube rabbit hole. I said, is that a truth? Is there really a rabbit hole? I mean, I'm a naive pastor. I'll believe anything, you know? I mean, to be on YouTube all the time or Facebook all the time, for me to live is Facebook. See, some of you know what I mean. Oh, listen, I'm going to ask you a question. Paul said, for me to live is Jesus, is Christ. Heaven agreed with it. He penned it. Now, Paul's experience was either true or untrue, but we know it is true. Amen? Paul's experience was either a true, living, ongoing reality in his life. And when I look at that, I say, oh, Lord, listen, what does that mean? Does it mean there's one kind of Christianity for Paul and another for the 21st century church? No. Here's what we have to do. We have to say, I'll turn there. We have to say with Paul, here it comes. Don't lose my mask. Phew, I'm glued to it. I'm chained to it. Man, we have to say this with Paul. Paul said, and I know it by heart, but I just want to make sure I get every word right. It says, can't even see it. For I have been crucified. Crucifixion, does that mean death? Yes, I have been crucified with someone. Are you? And so have you. Are you listening to me? He says, I have been crucified with Christ. I'm not seeking to be crucified. I'm not trying to live a crucified life. I died. Jesus died as me, and Jesus died for me. Amen. It was a co-crucifixion. I was on the cross. You were on the cross 2,000 years ago. I was crucified with Christ. And then Paul says this. He says, it is no longer I who live. Isn't that wonderful? Paul said, it's not me. I died. I only live for one person now. He says, for I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. Watch this. But Christ who lives in me. Does Christ live in you? Colossians 1:27. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen? Listen, Jesus is either all or not. He says, oh, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. But Christ who lives in me and the life right now, our life right this minute, with all of its heartaches, with all of its troubles, with pandemics and everything that we're going through. And the life I live right now in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Loved one, listen. Christ in me, the hope of glory. We have to live a life of faith, loved one. That's what we do. Jesus, he loved us. He gave himself for us. We're brand new creations in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. You want real life? All you have to do, all you have to do is do what the Apostle Paul said. He penned the Magna Carta of the New Testament called Romans. And for the first 11 chapters, what did Paul do? He told us all and who we were in Christ Jesus and so forth. And then when he gets to chapter 12, verse 1, what does he say? I beseech you, I beg you, I am pleading with you that you do something, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. Amen? Which is your reasonable worship, your reasonable service. A living sacrifice. God's not calling us to die for him. He's calling us to live for him, loved one. And that's how it is done. In Paul the Apostle, like I said when I opened up this sermon, loved one, I said in Paul the Apostle, we come face to face with what a living sacrifice really is. He said, for me to live is Christ. Paul the Apostle, his whole life was Christ-centered. It was not self-centered. He was consumed with one man and the name of Jesus Christ. His heart was captured by our Lord. He was a bondservant of Christ Jesus. Remember what the word doulos in Greek means? It means one whose will is swallowed up into the will of another. That's what it means to follow the Lord. Lord, your will be done, not my will. Amen? To follow him. Again, pick up your axe, man. We're going to learn next week more about that. But pick up your axe. We're clearing a path for the next generation. Do you understand? If the Lord tarries, he says, oh, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. In other words, fruitful work for the Lord. Yet, what shall I choose? I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed. I'm distressed. I'm hard-pressed between the two. Why? Well, I have a desire, or that intense longing. I have a desire to depart. That's a great word. You know what Paul really said right there? I want to be free from this world. I don't want anything to do with this world. We're not of this world. Amen? He says, I have a longing internal with all my heart desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. That's what Paul was distressed about. Listen, it was unbelievable. He did not know which way to go, whether it be life or death. Why? He only wanted it to bring glory to God. I am so blown away by that. For Paul to live for Christ, it meant to give his all. And you know the word depart, loved one? That's a beautiful word. You know, Christians, we say, well, he died. But really, he didn't die. Amen? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So Christians don't die. Oh, the old body, yeah. But no, immediately we're with the Lord. The word depart is a beautiful word to describe a person who belongs to the Lord at death. And the sailors used that word in Greek back in Paul's day to say, okay, it's time to bring up the anchor and let's set sail. In other words, we're going to go from this harbor to another harbor, or we're going to go from this part of the world to another part of the world. That's what happens when we die, when we depart. Where we go? We leave this world and go to the real world. Amen? It's also used by soldiers. It means to pull up the stakes of the tent, and it's time to pull up the tent, and we need to get going. It's used by farmers to take the yoke off of the oxen. In other words, to release the oxen from the burden forever. It's used by political people back in Paul's day. It means to set the prisoner free. Praise the Lord. Free from this body. Listen, depart means this. We are going home. We're going home. And it's not a long journey. It's, we're right there. Do you understand? We're right, I mean, right this very minute, we're right there. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know if our earthly house, this tent, that's what the Bible calls this house, a tent, is taken down. In other words, we pass on. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, are eternal in the heavens, for which this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. Man, this tent is not my home. It's not your home. This is temporary, brother and sisters. We're going to go home. We have a place in heaven. We're pilgrims. We're sojourners. We're passing through. Listen, Hebrews, 13:14. Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. I'm going to say something, and I don't want you to misconstrue it or misunderstand what I'm saying. And it's going to sound hard. I hate this world. I hate it. Oh, I don't hate the flowers and the animals and the birds and bears and Democrats and all the rest of them. Oh, no, they're not animals. I'm sorry. It's a joke. It's a joke. I could have said Republicans too. The waterfalls or the ocean or the stars and the moon, the sunsets. I love that. But the world is so mean. I don't understand how people can capture little children and force them into sex slavery, like they just rescued 33 yesterday in California. I don't understand how they can torture people and do the horrible things and just walk up to an innocent person walking down the street who's a college student and take out a gun and kill him for nothing. We live in a horrible, mean, vicious, dark, dark world, and I hate this world. And I thank God that I have overcome this world. Amen, and you have overcome this world. And I thank God this world is not my home. And one day we're going to lift anchor. If the Lord tarries and we depart, loved one, we are gone. We are there with the Lord. To live for Christ is the only way we can do this life. If we live for self, it's going to be a big loss because there is no life apart from Christ Jesus. And he says in verse 24, he says, nevertheless, he's distressed, remember, on which way he needs to go. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. So the conflict in Paul's heart, the Holy Spirit settled it for him. I'm going to ask you a question. What choice would you make? I mean, if you knew right this minute, all I have to do is take two steps, one, two. Immediately, you're in heaven. You're going to be there forever and ever and ever and ever. Do you understand? Or stay here. Paul said, hey, I'm going to stay right here. What kind of love is that? I'm going to postpone heaven. I know it's more needful. I need to be here with you, with the Philippians, with other people in my chains and all the things that are, I need to be right here. What kind of man was Paul? Read chapter 9 of Romans, I believe verses 1 and following. And Paul, his love for his countrymen, meaning the Jews, he said, I am willing to be accursed. That word means to be damned. It means to be sentenced to hell if all of Israel be saved. What kind of love is that? That's Paul the apostle. And he says in verse 25, he says, oh, and being confident, he says of this, confident of what? Verse 24, I know that I will remain and continue with you all. And he tells us why. That your progress, that's the same word for the furtherance of the gospel, that the advancement of your spiritual progress, in other words, I know that your progress and joy of faith and that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you. Paul says, don't worry, guys. I'm coming to see you again. Listen to me now. To me, that is one of the greatest statements of faith in Philippians. Paul is in chains. He's in prison, loved one. And he says, listen, I am going to see you soon face to face. Paul was waiting to face that demon called Nero. In 3 years from the time Paul wrote this, loved one, what was Nero doing? He burned down Rome, remember? He blamed it on the Christians, and he set crucifix up all along the highways and along in his rose garden and all of that, where he had parties and so forth. And he nailed Christians to the cross, and then he tarred them, covered them with tar. Why? Because at night, as he rode his chariot naked through the garden and into the street, they would light him up so he could see. Listen, that's the person that Paul was going to face. And he had the courage to say, hey, listen, I'm going to be coming to you again soon. That joy of faith. You want to have joy? Then it's a result of faith. It's a result of believing. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of my faith. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. That's the only way to have that kind of joy. What does it really mean for me to live as Christ? It means that we have to chain ourselves. Say, Lord, here I am. You bought me. I am now your slave. I am your servant. Amen. But I'm also your son and daughter. Are you following me? In other words, so many believers today, they are chained to the wrong things. Some of you right now, you are chained to worry. It's taken you captive. You're a prisoner of worry, or you're chained to fear 24/7. And you know, you're afraid to do this. You're afraid to do that. And you're just a prisoner. Listen, we are no longer prisoner of self. I am no longer a prisoner of Bill Quinn. Amen. I am no longer in Adam. I am in Christ. And whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen. We are a free people. Listen, I don't want to be anyone's prisoner, because there's only two chains in this world. Satan's or the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to be a prisoner of Rome, meaning I don't want to be a prisoner of this world. I don't want to be a prisoner of hate or a prisoner chained to unforgiveness or chained to the past. I want to be chained to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Man, chained to the Spirit of God. I want to be chained to prayer. I want to be chained to that axe that this church needs to pick up and start clearing a path through this pandemic. Amen. Fearless soldiers of the living God. That's who we need to be. Some of you are chained to worry. Why don't you, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you're chained to fear, if you're chained to worry, if you're chained to self, if you're chained to lust, if you're chained to unforgiveness, shackled to unforgiveness, no one's looking around but me and God. Why don't you just lift your hand right now and say, Bill, that's me, and I want these chains taken off right this minute. Yes, 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 yes. I don't even need to keep saying yes. It's everywhere. And God, you know it and you see it. So right now, unshackle your people. Oh, God, remove it from them and let them experience that right this minute, that whom the Son has set free is free indeed. As our heads are still bowed and our eyes are closed, some of you may not know Jesus Christ, and that means you are shackled to the devil. Why don't you come home to Christ? Why don't you let him save you? If you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord, let's break the chains of the devil off your life right now. You come to Christ. So if you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, lift your hand right now, and I'll pray for you right where you are. I'll lead you in a prayer, and you'll be set free quickly. Just lift your hand, put it right back down. You don't have to come to this altar, anyone at all, before I close. Then, Father, I assume that everyone in this room is saved, and I praise God for that, and I rejoice. Lord, thank you for this word. Thank you for the freedom that we have in Christ. Thank you, Lord, that we're not going to give up. We're not going to give in. We're going to push through this pandemic, and we're going to live. And the reason we're going to live is for me to live, for Calvary Chapel to live, is to live for Jesus Christ. Bless your people. Oh, Lord, bless them. I mean, in a tangible way right now. Let them experience you, Lord. Your love, your mercy, your power, your strength. Let them experience your authority. Oh God, we praise you. In Jesus' name.
Pastor Bill will be back tomorrow with more from his Philippians series, and we trust you'll tune in once again. Amen? My name is Brian Whitaker, and for Pastor Bill and all of us here at Love Never Fails, thank you for listening. Have a great day. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.